She made the trip across the country with him, too, had come all the way back to Connecticut with him, deadheading across the aisle in the tourist cabin of a United Airlines 747. She sat next to a businessman who saw her no more than the crew of the Huey had, or Willie Sherman, or the staff at the Pussy Palace. She had been Malenfant's date in Dong Ha, but she was John Sullivan's date now, and never took her black eyes off him. Her yellow wrinkled fingers always stayed folded in her lap, and her eyes always stayed on him. 30 years. Man, that was a long time. But as those years went by, Sully had seen her less and less. When he returned to Harwich in the fall of 70, he saw old Mama San just about every day, eating a hot dog in Commonwealth Park by Field B or standing at the foot of the iron steps leading up to the railway station where the commuters ebbed and flowed, or just walking down Main Street, always looking at him. Once, not long after he'd gotten his first post-Vietnam job, selling cars, of course, it was the only thing he really knew how to do. He had seen old Mama San sitting in the passenger seat of a 1968 Ford LTD with "Price to Sell" soaped on the windshield. "You'll start to understand her in time," the head shrinker in San Francisco had told him, and refused to say much more no matter how hard Sully pressed him. The shrink wanted to hear about the helicopters that had collided and fell out of the sky. The head shrinker wanted to know why Sully so often referred to Malenfant as "that card-playing bastard." Sully wouldn't tell him. The head shrinker wanted to know if Sully still had sexual fantasies, and if so, had they become noticeably violent. Sully had sort of liked the guy, Conroy his name was, but that didn't change the fact that he was an asshole. Once, near the end of his time in San Francisco, he had come close to telling Dr. Conroy about Carol. On the whole, he was glad he hadn't. He didn't know how to think about his old girlfriend, let alone talk about her. Conflicted was Conroy's word for this state. He had called her a stupid, fucked-up cunt, but the whole damn world was sort of fucked up these days, wasn't it? And if anyone knew how easily violent behavior could break its leash and just run away, John Sullivan did. All he was sure of was that he hoped the police wouldn't kill her when they finally caught up to her and her friends. Asshole or not, Dr. Conroy hadn't been entirely wrong about Sully coming to understand old Mama San as time went by. The most important thing was understanding, on a gut level, that old Mama San wasn't there. Head knowledge of that basic fact was easy, but his gut was slower to learn, possibly because his gut had been torn open in Dong Ha, and a thing like that just had to slow the understanding process down. He had borrowed some of Dr. Conroy's books, and the hospital librarian had gotten him a couple of others on interlibrary loan. According to the books, old Mama San, in her green pants and orange top, was an externalized fantasy which served as a coping mechanism to help him deal with his survivor guilt and post-traumatic stress syndrome. She was a daydream, in other words. Whatever the reasons, his attitude about her changed as her appearances became less frequent. Instead of feeling revulsion or a kind of superstitious dread when she turned up, he began to feel almost happy when he saw her. The way you felt when you saw an old friend who had left town but sometimes came back for a little visit.